Well, the world outside remains tumultuous, but the good news is that we remain hungry for clarity, for calm, and for cereal, the three C's, we call them. Welcome to the Empty Bowl, a meditative podcast about cereal. My name is Justin McElroy, and I'm a cereal enthusiast.
And I'm Dan Goubert, and I am a cereal podcaster of sorts, if you will, even.
Perhaps. Dan, I can't even... this is our 35th episode, and I can't even pretend to not be excited, because cereal is back, Dan. That's what I'm going to say. That's what I'm going to announce. Cereal is back. It seemed for a while that no one was going to do cereal anymore, and that maybe everyone would just stop with cereal altogether and we'd all have to eat Cream and Fleet. But I am thrilled beyond measure, as you could tell from my tone, thrilled beyond measure to announce that cereal has returned to us.
Do you think there was any sort of significant event in cereal news recently that might have precipitated
such a holy revival? I'm trying to remember if there was any cereal news from this week that made me stand up from my couch, pump both fists in the air, and loudly announce to my wife that this story had broken.
Yes, it's a pretty big deal.
Huge. Can't overstate the importance.
If you haven't specifically listened to episode 11 of this podcast yet, I recommend you do so now just to get... acquainted again of just how good we think tropical Fruit Loops are. When we first tried them so long ago, they were exclusive to Mexico, and it just seemed like America was once again destined to get the short end of the stick when it comes to quality cereal interpretations.
Yes.
If you refer back to South Korean Oreo O's as a good reference point for how America's version of it was not so great, but... I'm very, very happy to report that Tropical Fruit Loops not only are going to be migrating to the United States, but they already have and have been spotted at, you know, all sorts of sort of localized grocery chains.
Yeah, this is the Fruit Loops that after trying it, I boldly announced that it should get to change its name to Fruit Loops, and regular Fruit Loops should have to change to worse Fruit Loops. That's the extent to which I love this cereal. I hope against hope they're not going to tinker with
the
formula.
Yes, that's the concern.
Yeah, we have not tried it, obviously, but this is a... you all are in for quite a treat. I cannot wait to get a box of this again. I thought for sure that it had just sort of... You know, I had had my one fleeting glance, tongue glance at it, and it was... that chapter of my life is over, but hopefully this is a new volume that I'm pulling down from the cereal shelf.
So I guess to elaborate on why this is probably deserving of like the overall Fruit Loops label, it's just that Fruit Loops, it's been famously publicized that all of the loop colors taste the same.
Right.
And when you taste them, you can't really discern any individual fruit flavors. And Fruit Loops, tropical Fruit Loops, on the other hand, claim that they are flavored after pineapples, bananas, oranges, and mangoes. And it's crazy that you can definitely taste all of those, in my opinion.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So by doing much greater justice to particular fruit flavors, especially these fruits that very rarely get put into cereals, I think we have a real recipe for a winner here. They changed the box art to make it a little bit more lame and formulaic, but I'm hoping that the actual cereal doesn't, fall to the same fate.
Yeah, I'm thrilled about this. It's wonderful news. How excited, on the scale of zero to tropical Fruit Loops coming to America, how excited should I be about cookies and cream Krispies?
Oh, man, probably about a store brand Honey Bunches of Oats, which I think equates to maybe a 3.5 to 4.
Respectable.
Cookies and Cream Krispies was announced right on the tail end of Tropical Fruit Loops, so naturally it has not given, it has not received much attention as sort of a second banana to the obvious first banana in the room, but Cookies and Cream Krispies seems pretty straightforward in trying to work some sort of Oreo-esque flavor into the classic puffed rice cereal. I will say that from my experience a few years ago, there were Cookies and Cream Rice Krispies treats that came out, and they were not very good in the sense that they basically just tasted like normal Rice Krispie treats, so...
That's bad, I would say.
Yeah, I'm not too excited about Cookies and Cream Krispies. I don't know how much nuance they can really add to something that is just so, you know, straight up crisp rice that...
Right.
I don't know. I'm just not too thrilled about
you're
it.
You're
not
thinking
a big... about it.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Dan, you are not the world's biggest puffed rice person as far as cereal fans go.
I mean, yeah, if you're talking about Krispies, of course, the original Rice Krispies treat cereal accepted. Talking about Krispies or Pebbles, I just think that I really want a cereal that hits me in the gut and I can actually tell that I ate something rather than it just sort of evaporating during the digestive process and making me want more of it. Mm. So, and that's not even considering the sogginess element when it comes to these lighter cereals, but I am a little bit biased towards Cookies and Cream Krispies, so let's hope that the American interpretation of Tropical Fruit Loops is good enough to leave me in a very saintly countenance when I review Cookies and Cream Krispies as well.
I have to hope. I'm a big fan of rice cereal, so I'm into it, but we'll see. This next story, are we looking at another whatever FYE Funko Pop branded joint, or is this a real deal cereal?
Not quite. This is definitely a real Kellogg's product from the same genus, specifically as SpongeBob cereal, which we talked about not too long ago. It is Minecraft Creeper Crunch cereal. Apparently, they wanted to double down on, you know, getting the most out of their square cereal piece motif that they have chosen, right, Minecraft to succeed SpongeBob. But this cereal includes the same sort of
Dan, this is the worst looking cereal I've ever seen in my entire life.
So you got these multigrain squares that have little circles in the middle, and you have just these square green marbits of varying shades, and it's not terribly exciting. They did add cinnamon flavor from the SpongeBob one, if that's great. Saying anything. But I have to say this is very uninspired considering the lush, colorful world of Minecraft.
I have to say huge, huge props, though, to Kellogg's for getting in right at the peak of the, you know, the Minecraft craze. It's only been out for a decade, so I'm happy that they're getting out there and striking while the iron's hot. They came out, the Fortnite cereal got released, or the Overwatch cereal got released before the Minecraft cereal did.
Yeah, that's
y'all
crazy.
Come on.
We are going to get a Fortnite cereal, I'm sure, within the next 2 years.
You know, I kind of count Llama Loops because that is why the llama was having a moment. So I would kind of count Llama Loops in there. But
it's very possible to open a box of Minecraft Creeper Crunch cereal and just withdraw a box of Fortnite cereal from it.
I will say the Marbits almost look kind of cool. Like, I don't know that I've seen perfectly square, like they look like they do kind of have a Minecraft vibe to them. I will give them that. The cereal pieces just look miserable, though. I bet there's 8 marbits in the whole thing. It's so depressing. I don't mean for this to be a negative show. You all know that, but please. Tell me more about these bars, Dan. I'm always kind of on the fence about cereal bars. I tend to think that they just leave me wanting to eat actual cereal, but what is that? You think that's going to be the case with these?
Oh, definitely, definitely. These aren't traditionally speaking cereal bars. They're not sort of rectangular prisms with bits of actual cereal congealed with this sort of sugar glaze that you're probably used to when it comes to cereal bars. But I don't know if you remember when we talked about the Lucky Charms Costco exclusive Blondies a while back. They were only available in 40-count boxes, so I think I made it like 2/3 of the way through mine before I had to call it and give the rest of them away on Twitter. But these are, I don't know, if you kind of know like the Fiber One brownie type situation where it's this little square that's doughy And it's got a little bit of a drizzle on top. And at least in the case of the Lucky Charms one, there are marshmallows in there as well. So those are coming to shelves, not Costco exclusive, and actually in 6-count bar boxes, which is so much more reasonable. And I can actually recommend that you try these just because they are very simply satisfying. They're not really going to whet your appetite, but I think they are still really moist and dense in the brownie sense of the word. But the exciting part is that these Lucky Charms soft baked bars will be joined by Cinnamon Toast Crunch soft baked bars as well. And I think that has a lot more promise to be more than just another sort of sugary oatmeal cookie type square brownie deal, and actually includes some sort of streuseled or cinnamon roll adjacent element to it.
And Dan, I have to admit, as we transition out of news and into our review segment, I have to admit I'm of jealousy, and that's sitting on my heart, and I want to get it out there. I have begged and pleaded for cereal companies to send me cereal. Still has not happened, but I found out that you managed to somehow obtain a box of honey-made cinnamon graham cereal. Dish, tell me everything.
Well, first things first, this is very much something I didn't expect to happen, because when you consider all the big cereal companies out there that I have been, you know, contacted by their PR agencies, it's almost overwhelmingly General Mills and Kellogg's. And it's interesting because they clearly have like 4 different PR companies between them covering different types of cereal and different products as well. But I've never really heard much from Quaker or Post when it comes to free sampling. And then just very, very randomly out of the blue, the Post Instagram page messaged me. Mind you, I don't even really use Instagram much anymore for cereal. I'm much more into Twitter. But they seemed very excited to send me a new product, and I didn't even know what it was. I had nothing on my sort of cereal release calendar that suggested a new Post product that could be getting to me soon. So when these arrived on my doorstep, it was actually a total surprise to hear that honey-made cinnamon graham cereal even existed at all. I think if you've been listening to this podcast from the very beginning, you might remember when in 2018, this was a rumored cereal. There was a single, very, very grainy, you know, not glossy in any sense, JPEG of a theoretical honey-made cinnamon graham cereal that was to be released not long after the s'mores version, which was released back then and is still gracing shelves to this day. So when I basically mentally cast it off as something that was never going to happen, because this was right around the time when there were other post-cereal leaks, like a new Teddy Graham cereal that also never came to fruition. So it's kind of a miracle that these made it to me, especially because they're so good.
Like, oh, wow, really?
I mean, I'm sure I'm going to ruffle some feathers here, challenge some very, very long-held beliefs, but these are objectively better than Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
I have to leave the room. Excuse me, Dan. I just need to take a moment for me.
I mean, you of all people know how good Golden Grahams is as a cereal. And it's long overdue for Golden Grahams to get its own unique varietal. And where Cinnamon Toast Crunch uses a base of sort of rice and wheat flour, this one leans much more heavily into the wheat element of the graham flour, and it's basically, in terms of cinnamon and sugar, it tastes exactly like Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but the base flavor here is a lot heartier. It's got that honey glaze to it that's not overwhelming or anything, so it's basically just Golden Grahams at its peak performance. I'm just blown away by how simply satisfying this cereal is.
Y'all, get at me. Get at me, Post. If you're out there, please, I got to have this cereal. This is killing me. This is out in the world. When are we looking at this being on shelves?
I think it's slowly appearing this whole summer, basically. But okay. I'll see whose DMs I can slip and slide into.
Yeah, that's right.
To get you the hookup. Holler it's only at fair.
Me. Holler at me. I wanted to talk before you. We have a review that we kind of shared. I would say I wanted to thank a very kind listener. Sometimes people send us oddball cereals. If you want to send me some, P.O. Box 54, Huntington, West Virginia 25706 is my my daughter is 5 and she tried that with candy in a YouTube show we make together, and I've just been destroyed by my post office has been destroyed by candy ever since.
How big is your P.O. box, dimensionally speaking?
But they have a place in the back where they put the packages, so they just yeah. Luckily, it doesn't all have to fit into there. A very kind listener sent me one called Sainsbury's, I think they're Sunshine Loops. I believe they're called, and they're kind of like Fruit Loops, except they are much more citrusy.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, they're very good. Obviously, no one would have any reason to eat these in America, but if you're in the UK, try they're Rainbow Loops Summer Edition. Ooh. By Sainsbury's. So it's the Sainsbury's chain. They're generic Fruit Loops, but they have a very different flavor. Not as sweet as I'm used to them over here, but pretty good. But anyway, speaking of people sending us cereals, we got a bunch from HEB, which I know is a Texas chain. I don't know if there are other places, but these are labeled Cereology.
Cereology.
Cereology is the chef created cereals. A wild assortment. After walking through the desert of no new cereals, this is amazing. We got literally 10 different cereals in this box of some of the strangest pairings innovative, if I can say that, of these, chef-inspired blends. just to give an example, was there one that really stood out to you, Dan, that you especially enjoyed?
I would say I really liked the cinnamon mocha one. All of these Cereology cereals include either granola as the primary sort of ingredient or as a very, very strongly complementary one. And in the case of the cinnamon mocha, the cinnamon is very, very strong, probably a little bit too strong, but the whole idea of a coffee cereal, I know it's been done in some context before, but here especially it really hits you and cuts you with a little bit of bittersweetness to the cereal, because it contains granola clusters, flakes, and even tiny bits of dark chocolate to really round up the experience. And I think they've been out for probably around a year now when I did more research, but they didn't get a lot of acclaim just because store brand cereals aren't really something you pay much attention to. But HEB, it is a Texas-centered grocery chain. So if you are within that service radius, you owe it to yourself to try one of the many, many, many options available. And I believe it was our listener Douglas to thank for that. And he also included, because some of the cereals have sort of dried dairy elements to it, he included some lactate just for me. And nice. I believe that sort of extra step is really, really worth thanking, especially because I used the rest of the box to eat a whole lot of cheese before this.
I really dug one called Morning Sunshine, and that was a blend of granola and vanilla, cinnamon, rice flour, wheat flakes.
Whoa!
And also dried pieces of peaches, raspberries, oranges, strawberries, and coconut, and then a yogurt-covered flake. I mean, I gotta say, these Cereologies, these bad boys eat like a meal. I mean, you are gonna get the small bowls for these puppies, because that you are not going to go deep into the paint on these. This is not go back for a second bowl. This is go back for a second nap. They are dense cereals, but chock full of flavor.
Yeah, it's really definitely something you'd see like on a cereal-themed Chopped episode almost.
Yeah, exactly. Inspired by those chefs, you might say.
Yeah, very much.
We asked our listeners if they could design a dream cereal donut, base a donut off of any cereal, what would that look like? And we would love to share some of those with you right now.
Hi, Dan. Hi, Justin. This is Mary from Portland, Oregon. My idea for an elevated cereal donut would be the French toast crunch. First, you would start off with a sourdough-based or croissant-based donut batter. You would fry it once it's been leavened, and then cut it in half so that it can properly dry. Then cook it, like you would French toast, in an egg batter. To top it off, simply coat with a sprinkling of sugar and brulee with a torch. You would have the crunch, the French, and the toast. Thank you so much for your podcast, and I hope you enjoy my idea.
Hey, Dan and Justin. This is Rebecca from Sacramento, California, and my dream cereal donut would be a Cinnamon Toast Crunch coffee cake donut. This would be a cake donut with a cinnamon sugar vein through the center of the ring, and it would be topped with a classic coffee cake streusel that is mixed with little pieces of the Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal. I think this donut would capture the spirit of the sweet cinnamon sugar flavor that it pairs so well with your morning coffee. Thank you so much for the podcast.
Hi, Dan and Justin. This is Zoe from Massachusetts. I think a cereal donut that would be delicious would be a banana nut Cheerios donut. This would be a filled donut filled with the sweet banana cream and glazed with some sort of honey or cereal milk style topping. Obviously, it would have to be garnished with crushed pecans. Thank you so much for your lovely podcast. My cat Toblerone and I fall asleep to it every night.
I love those ideas. I think I would, if you could condense though, I think the flavor of Cap'n Crunch into a donut, I think that would be a grand slam. But I think it's one of those very specific flavors that might be a little harder to nail.
Yeah, I think I have a good idea for one, but I need a little bit of time to explain it first. So okay, Let's move on to the next segment real fast.
Okay. That's a perfect segue into our cereal story time. Dan, whisk me away, spin me a tapestry as we explore one of the stranger annals of cereal history.
Oh man, when it comes to things that theoretical cereal history books need to cover, this has got to be one of the most important. This is the story of South Korean green onion Chex cereal and how something that sounds immediately repulsive is actually the result of a 16-year-long battle for cereal democracy. So we start in 2004, and obviously this was a much earlier time of the internet, so marketers wanting to do things that involve the internet weren't necessarily as strong when it came to foresight and making reliable assumptions about the way that the internet will receive something. So in that year of 2004, Kellogg's of South Korea wanted to introduce a new, more chocolatey version of the Chex cereal that they were releasing in South Korea. And any true cereal marks are probably asking themselves at this point how Kellogg's, of all people, is releasing Chex, a General Mills product. And that's not really a question I have a good answer to. I kind of just have to suspend my disbelief at this point and understand that somehow Kellogg's of South Korea has the rights to release Chex cereal.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. In 2004, they wanted to introduce this new, more chocolatey version, and to do it, they had this cute little TV advertisement campaign where it was a mock election of sorts between two candidates, both Chex pieces. One was Checky. He was the hip, youthful Chex piece who promised, if elected, to bring two times the chocolate flavor to chocolate Chex cereal of South Korea. And he was running against Chaka, who is depicted as just the worst sort of belching ogre of a person, very, very commanding and green onion flavored, who of course promised
Shrek. A Shrek sword.
Yeah, a very, very Shrekular figure. and his promise was, if elected, to bring green onion to cereal in South Korea. And the way they did this was to host an online poll of what kids would prefer out of their new Chex cereal. And I don't know why the Chex marketers just assumed that kids would all want the double chocolate Chex cereal, because as soon as the greater South Korean population, especially on their version of sort of Reddit, got a hold of this poll, they spammed the votes in favor of the green onion candidate.
Obviously.
Of course. I don't blame them in any sense. So the executives at Kellogg's of South Korea see this and think, oh no, we really, really only plan to release the chocolate version, so we are going to change the way of accepting votes and only ask children and poll them at theme parks. And they did that instead, and after a while, they realized there was still absolutely no chance of getting enough votes for double chocolate to match green onion in the race. So they did what I guess was probably the only thing they could do at the time and declared all the online votes invalid and awarded the victory to Chucky, the chocolate Chex piece. So if you have any prediction as to how the internet, who really wanted Chaka to win, reacted to this, it was with tons and tons of memes satirizing the winning candidate of Chucky, sort of making him out to be this dictator who got his position illegitimately. with democratic justice, especially in a democratic country like South Korea, is pretty much owed to the candidate with the most votes. And the whole thing sort of faded into obscurity after a while, just because there's nothing really you can do after a while. Until very, very suddenly this past month, where Kellogg's of South Korea announced that they were going to do it. They were sorry for snubbing Chaka so long ago that they're going to release green onion Chex. And in a very, very, very quick process, they released a bunch of commercials and got it onto shelves. And I've already heard from people saying that it is not green oniony enough.
Oh, my. You want more as a half measure.
Yeah, it's interesting because they sort of look like chocolate Chex pieces still, but this is something I guess I could hypothetically see myself eating like a Chex mix and not necessarily doing it with the milk context, but I think it's very, very interesting how something that wasn't even really getting a lot of attention got marketers intrigued enough to release the actual green onion Chex cereal.
So what do you think? We're going to get a box of this or what?
I'm hoping so. I got a few connects, but I will say though, now that I can reveal it, that if I were to have a cereal dream donut, I would just have a sour cream donut topped with green onion Chex.
Perfect. Yeah, perfect. Makes perfect sense.
Now you know why I had to wait.
Yeah. Worth the wait. Hey, did we have a question for this week? I completely bypassed that. Is there anything on your mind that you'd like to ask? You know what? Maybe weird food that you might secretly think will work as a cereal.
True.
Like
yeah.
Most surprising, bizarre cereal choice. If you have one, you can go to bowl.rest and click on the button to leave us a message. Ideally, you'd have a microphone plugged in, but you can use your phone too. That's fine. We're not too picky. Just make sure you keep it, you know, calm. What else, Dan? What am I forgetting?
We would like to thank Emily Loper, as always, for editing our podcast so well. Chris Zabriskie for his opening theme of The Sun is Scheduled to Come Out Tomorrow, as well as Bria Davis for doing our updated, very, very beautiful, beachy, empty bowl artwork.
If you want to support our show, go to that link, bowl.rest, and just click on the little button there. You can pledge like a buck up to 10 bucks a month. Half of that keeps seriously.net running, and half of it goes to a local homeless shelter here in Huntington, West Virginia. So everybody wins. I want to thank you so much for being here with us. We hope you've had a relaxing time. But until the next time that we're all together, my name is Justin McElroy.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I know we've been doing a lot of pranks, a lot of gotchas in terms of the final statement on this podcast. I think we should really work together to make it right this time.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, sure. Don't forget
to drink The milk.
That may have been our best.
Yeah, that may have been our best. Setting the bar low, but yes.